This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. In the 1930s, the National Park Service sent a man named Joseph Hall to document the culture of the Great Smoky Mountains. Many residents were about to be relocated so that land could become national park. And while Joseph is there, he falls in love with the music of the Smokies. So he returned again about 20 years later and discovered a banjo player named Carol Best. That's a clip recorded by Joseph Hall of banjo player Carol Best playing with fellow musicians in Haywood County, North Carolina. Carol kept a relatively low profile as a musician, but bluegrass and old-time scholars today note that he is an important and unsung hero. Many of the formative recordings of his career sat unnoticed for years, but my guest today helped bring them back into public consciousness. Ted Olson is a music historian and professor of Appalachian Studies at East Tennessee State University. He recently helped produce a new collection of recordings called Carol Best and the White Oak String Band and joins us from WCQS in Asheville. Ted Olson, welcome to State of Things.
Thank you so much, Frank. Glad to be here.
Tell us how you came to become involved in this project.
Well, several years ago, the Great Smoky Mountains Association, which is a non-for-profit organization affiliated with Great Smoky Mountains National Park, asked me to work with some other scholars, Michael Montgomery being a well-known linguist. We worked together to bring forward some of these lost recordings from the 1930s, gathered by Joseph Hall in the Smokies. This CD came out, it's called Old Time Smoky Mountain Music. It came out several years ago. It was nominated for a Grammy in the Best Historical Album category. It got lots of attention. The Great Smoky Mountains Association asked me to look back further into the Joseph Hall materials that were at the Library of Congress and at the Archives of Appalachia at East Tennessee State University. And so in looking at these 1950s recordings by Joseph Hall, I came upon a name that was legendary. And it turned out that these were the lost recordings of Carol Best that scholars had been looking for many years. They were the original pioneering recordings of a style of banjo called three-finger melodic style banjo.
All right. And you say legendary. At least scholars knew about him. What did they know about Carol Best? What was known about his story up until then, before even these lost recordings had been discovered?
Well, Carol Best played more or less locally around Haywood County until the 1990s when he would come over to Asheville and such, but he more or less kept his travels to Western North Carolina until 1990 when he was invited to perform at the Tennessee Banjo Institute in Middle Tennessee. And there he was discovered by the whole banjo community and people were raving. He was really the star of the 1990 Tennessee Banjo Institute, according to all people who were there. People were amazed by his style and wondering, why didn't they know more about him or know about him at all? He hadn't recorded much up till that time. He was a farmer and worked at a factory, stayed close to home to take care of his family. And so he really hadn't taken his great music on the road particularly.
So where would he be playing mostly? Parties and that kind of thing?
Mostly he would be playing at home. He loved to play at home. This was his sanctuary. This was the place where he could experiment with his music, and he didn't have to please anybody but himself in a sense. He loved to play in his living room, but he would also, of course, play around the community some. But he was, in some ways, a private man, but he loved music, and he was very passionate about expanding the repertoire that he knew and taking it into new directions. He was very much an artist, or a musician's musician.
Well, that new direction is something that you mentioned earlier, a three-finger melodic style. Now, a lot of people out there are going to hear three-finger, and they're going to say, wait a minute, that's Earl Scruggs. That's Earl Scruggs who brought us the three-finger style. But his was different than the Scruggs style. Maybe I can get you to kind of verbally describe the difference, and then we'll listen a little bit.
Right. Earl Scruggs, of course, is very famous for having kind of put together a style of playing involving rhythmic rolls across the five strings of the banjo, very fast, contrapuntal, very, very rhythmically driving. It's the signature sound of bluegrass as it's come to be defined. Carol Best's style was in some ways not necessarily a bluegrass sound. it was in some ways a lot closer in alliance with old-time music, with an emphasis on melody and kind of rhythmic beauty and simplicity. And so Carol Best tried to kind of form a style that sounded very much like fiddle technique, accentuating the melody of the fiddle tune. But he would play it, of course, using three fingers and finger picks on the banjo. So people sometimes expected him to sound like Earl Scruggs, but his sound was radically different. It was much more about the melody.
All right, well, let's compare the two. Let's start with Earl Scruggs. We're all familiar with that. Here's Earl Scruggs and Lester Flatt performing Foggy Mountain Breakdown. Earl Scruggs kind of three-finger style that came to define what we now call bluegrass, a kind of diddly-diddly-doodly-dot that propels the music. It's almost as percussive as it and rhythmic as it is melodic. I'm going to listen now to Carol Best, his three-finger style, which would be described more as a melodic three-finger style. Let's hear Carol Best. That's Carol Best and the White Oak String Band playing the song Golden Slippers, talking with Ted Olson today. That is from a newly compiled album produced by Ted Olson. So what's new and what's old about that particular song that we heard in that style?
Well, that's, of course, Golden Slippers, a 19th century tune. And Carol Best loved tunes. He loved fiddle tunes, and he loved all kinds of songs and such. But he would try to find a way to make each tune or song his own. He would experiment with them endlessly to find out ways to play them in some ways more simply but more emotionally. And so he would work at that. And that was an example of Carol Best playing Golden Slippers with a kind of a string band combination, guitar and fiddle as well. But on the banjo there, Carol Best is trying to take the melody line of Golden Slippers and finesse it and accentuate the beauty, the simple beauty of the melody line of that timeless song. And in essence, he's playing here with his friends at a relative's house, Teague Williams in Haywood County, North Carolina. And that would have been in 1959. And Joseph Hall wanders in with a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And thanks to Joseph Hall just being there at the right place at the right time, we have a record of the emergence of that melodic banjo sound.
Well, and just to give you a sense of what it emerged from, we want to have a sample of the clawhammer style of banjo, which was the more traditional style and the kind that everybody was playing, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, right through the 19th century and into the 20th century. And here's an example of the clawhammer style right now. Now that's Wade Ward. He's recorded by Alan Lomax playing a sample of what would be called clawhammer-style banjo, and I guess there's a little less melody in that. Would I be right about that, Ted?
Sure, absolutely. The clawhammer style is highly rhythmic, and yet Wade Ward there and other banjo players who played the clawhammer style would use their thumb, and they would hit the fifth string that gives it the bum diddy sound, but then would also bring the thumb down and strike or play notes down on the lower strings to create more complexity within the arrangement. So Wade Ward was certainly one of the masters of the clawhammer style, but it is more rhythmic than it is melodic.
So here's Carol Best trying to pull more out of the banjo, trying to get another sound. He's going to use three fingers now. And up until this time, up until this CD, essentially, nobody could really prove that Carol Best was the pioneer in that three-finger melodic style. Am I right?
Oh, that's right. People such as Joe Wilson, who was a prominent promoter of folk music and still does that sort of work today, he alleged that there were lost recordings somewhere of Carol Best that would definitively prove that he was the earliest to play in the style. But nobody could find them for years and years and years. But Happily, we found them, and some of them were in the Library of Congress, placed there by Joseph Hall, and other recordings were at the archives of Appalachian East Tennessee State University, sitting in plain sight, and nobody was noticing them. So we were able to bring them out and work with a recording engineer, John Fleener, to bring the sound, the dynamic level, to a more natural state. There had been a lot of tape loss and distortion over the years, but we were able to bring them back. And these pretty much situate Carol Best's kind of creation of the melodic three-finger banjo-style sound into the mid-1950s, which is where people had thought he was kind of creating the sound all along, but we never had definitive proof until now.
Well, somebody who didn't need any other proof but his ears to know how important Carol Best was is French Kirkpatrick. French played with him. He grew up near Carol. He played with him often on sets. In fact, the set of recordings featured on this album, and he joins us now. French Kirkpatrick, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us how you met Carol Best.
Well, Carol's sister had married a guy over in the same community where I live, Mr. Tague Williams. And he got to coming over there, and my brother Bill and Carol, they got to play and ran together, and they made this little band. And they would play at the schoolhouses for the what they called the box suppers back in that day. And we'd play for the square dances up at the Maggie Valley Playhouse and play at the Five Top Ranch, the Cataloochee Ranch, and just the square dance stuff. And even back, I was just a kid. I was just hanging around for the ride, but I would be with these guys, and I knew when I was 15, 16, 17 years old playing to Carol Best, I knew that he had something special on a banjo that I never had heard out there before with anybody else. And I'm still waiting to hear somebody do some of the stuff he does, but it's not going to happen.
It's great to hear you say that, because here we are in 2014 trying, you know, sort of rediscovering this thing. But you're telling us at the moment, at those square dances, it was very clear to you and your ears, there's something very new happening here.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's one of these things you almost would have had to have been there to have heard how unique he was with his style and with his delivery with the banjo. And here was always the thing with me. I was a... When I first started playing with Carol, a 13-year-old boy, he would come and pick me up, and I'd go help do shows with him. And I'd ask myself, I'd say, I wonder why he don't do this like Earl Scruggs or Don Reno or somebody. And Carol would just tell you flat out, I can't do and don't want to do what other people do. I want to do what I do on a banjo. And I'm telling you, he set a presence with a banjo that's unparalleled today, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sorry. That's not to take anything away from other banjo players,
right?
Please, I'm not advocating that for any reason. But what I'm telling you, this guy was who he was within his own confines and with his own creativity. And I just always admired him for who he was.
Yeah, it sounds like as the youngster, you were the George Harrison of the band, huh? They drug you along with your guitar, and you were playing.
Well, I was better looking than George. Yeah.
You're probably a better guitar player too, at least early in your career. Tell us, why don't we go ahead and prove that? Here's another clip from the album. You're featured on that, French Kirkpatrick. Let's listen to this, a little bit of this song.
Okay.
That's a clip of the song Banjo Boogie from the album Carol Best and the White Oak String Band, with Carol Best on banjo and French Kirkpatrick on the guitar. And I'm talking with French Kirkpatrick and Ted Olson. French, when you hear that song, what stands out to you?
Well, it just proves my point. I mean, you won't ever hear anybody do that the way he put it together. And Carol told me that he learned that song off of an old Arthur Smith recording, but he put his own flavor of licks into that song, and that's what makes it so dynamic when you hear it.
Hey, French, I hear there's a story about how you helped Carol find a banjo that he used for most of his career. Tell us about it.
Well, I used to run a little car lot over there in Waynesville, and a guy came in there and brought a Great Lakes banjo in there and gave it to me for a down payment on a vehicle. Well, it was an open back banjo, and I had no use for it, so I called Carol. And I told him, I said, Carol, come to my house. I've got a banjo I want you to look at. And he came over there, and he sat down on the couch. He played on it for about 25 or 30 minutes, and he says, what do you have to have for this? And I said, well, you can have it for what I got in it. So I'll not tell you how much it was. But anyway, he says, I don't have any money right now. But he says, I'm going to tell you I'm taking the banjo, and when I walk out the door with it, it's not coming back. And I said, just bring the money when you come. So actually, two or three weeks, a month or something later, Carol came over there one evening and brought the money, and he kept that banjo till he died. He loved that thing.
Sounds great. Ted, you said the White Oak String Band, it wasn't actually a band that played together. Tell us about what is the White Oak String Band?
Well, the name White Oak String Band was kind of coined by Teague Williams, who was the host of the recording sessions for Joseph Hall. And Teague Williams was quite the character, and he kind of put on a informal radio-type show that wasn't broadcast over the radio. So he played MC for the proceedings of Joseph Hall recording Carol Best and other neighbors, including French and French's brother, Billy Kirkpatrick, who was a marvelous fiddler, and a couple of the other musicians who showed up for the sessions. And it became just the informal name for the gathering of friends and neighbors. And the band never played professionally outside of that one house at that one juncture when Joseph Hall was there.
Ted, Carol died a tragic death. Tell us about that and how it's affected his legacy.
Well, Carol Best was just kind of emerging as a banjo player that was getting national recognition in the mid-1990s. He had played at two of the Tennessee Banjo Institutes and had been, like I said, a star at both of them. And there were other people such as Ralph Stanley and others at those events. So to say that he was the star of those institutes is saying something indeed. Mm-hmm. And then he went on a national tour with Ralph Stanley and J.D. Crow and other great banjo players around the country called the Masters of the Banjo Tour in 1994. Mm-hmm. And shortly thereafter, there was some talk about Carol finally making the album that would showcase his great sound and his great style. And that, alas, never happened for a variety of reasons. Well, most tragically, of course, was that in May of 1995, he was murdered by his brother. And how that affected, I suppose, is, of course, as with any tragedy, there was a long grieving period. And eventually, Joe Wilson, I mentioned him earlier, a great promoter of folk music, put out a compilation CD mm-hmm. of the recordings that Carol Best had made. But those were from the years early 1970s through the early 1990s. And so the earlier period, his great formative period, was not documented at all. Joe Wilson couldn't find those recordings. They did not go on to that one CD that came out shortly after Carol's death. And so Carol became a legendary banjo player that people debated online and in banjo enthusiast circles as far as being this great pioneer. People, you know, would just insist that he was the pioneer of the melodic style, and there would be fierce arguments about that. There were, of course, a couple other banjo players who got some of the credit for that sound. I want to mention Bobby Thompson and Bill Keith. They were marvelous banjo players. But in fact, they were a little bit later. And with this new CD, we were able to definitively prove that Carol Best, much as he had talked about all along, had been playing this style since perhaps the 40s. Yeah. And we've documented it in the mid-50s.
French, I've got about 30 seconds left, but how do you feel about this album, Carol Best and the White Oak String Band, coming out now?
Well, if I could say it in 30 seconds, I will. But I just thought it was great when Ted called me back last January and asked me if I'd be part of helping him put this together. I kind of thought he was some kind of a jokester, but I found out he was telling the truth, and that amazed me that they had found these old recordings and wanted to do something with them.
Sounds great. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the program. French Kirkpatrick and Ted Olson joined us from WCQS in Asheville to talk about a new compilation of recordings by Carol Best and the White Oak String Band. The CD is a fundraising project for the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. You can find out details and see some photos of Carol Best and French Kirkpatrick at our website, stateofthings.org. I want to thank both of you for being on the program.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Just ahead, we're going to talk with Western North Carolina author Ron Rash. Stay tuned.